So the end of the passage in Colossians chapter 3 that Ross read a moment ago says this in verse 15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." I don't know about you, but I know that I'm ready for Thanksgiving. I'm ready for it, and yet I looked at my calendar the other day, about 2 weeks ago, and realized that I'm pre-ready for it because apparently somebody changed the calendar on me. I mean, who ruled that the fourth week of November on Thursday is Thanksgiving Sunday? Don't you know it's always the third week? It's always the third week of, and it's just really turned me over, turned me upside down. But then I thought about it a little bit, and I thought, well, that's just a little bit more time for me to get ready for Thanksgiving, to be prepared, to be thankful. I realize that I should have, and do have, for the most part, a thankful heart all the time, but there's just something about that Thanksgiving season. There's something about making preparation for meals. I'm a cook in name and also in hobby. And so there's something about getting the, you know, the dressing ready and the turkey and then, you know, a different recipe for this and have, there's something about making plans to go see family and changing the schedule up a little bit. There's all kinds of good things that are associated with that holiday. We are so prepared at my house that my wife a week ago got out the snow village and it's all over the house. Lisa's prepared. She was playing Christmas music already. I mean, when we gave a big applause because of the beautiful music that was played. We actually even put up our, I guess you'll call it now, our Thanksgiving tree. It's all lighted and sitting by the front window. Come on by the house and you can see it lighted through the window. There's all kinds of preparation for the Thanksgiving and Christmas season to be ready for. But Paul writes to the Colossian Christians and says that there are some things that you have to do, church. There are things that you have to do to be ready to be thankful, to be ready to have that peace of God ruling in your hearts, which you were called in one body to be thankful. And in fact, you could back up the whole chapter in the book of Colossians, but I do want to back up to a stopping point in Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 and realize that in order for us to ramp up to that spirit of thanksgiving, there are some things that Paul says that we should be doing in order to have a pure and healthy spirit of thanksgiving about the things of God in our heart. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 or click it on your device, whichever way you want to look at it. We have the Bible in so many forms and so many ways, and it's good that we have it and look at it and read it and allow it to speak to us on its own accord. But Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and says to the Colossian Christians, who, by the way, who were drawing together as a people of faith, but were struggling with their matter of focus on the things of Christ. Why? For the same reason that you and I struggle for the matters of focus on the things of Christ. The message of the world is so strong. The temptations of the world bombard us over and over again, and it takes great diligence, it takes great discipline, it takes great concentration to not let the messages of the world that were formerly our way of life creep into our lives so that we are clouded and distracted about focusing on the things of the Lord. And so he reminds us in chapter 3, verse 1, when he says this, "If then you were raised with Christ, and to the church they were, and to us as well, we are, if we are believers in Jesus Christ," he says, "don't forget to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." In other words, set your focus on the things of Christ. It is the only way that you are going to thrive in the Lord and be thankful continually, and that is to focus on the things of Christ. Focus on the things of Christ as it relates to your life personally, individually, when you have a testimony of conversion to faith in Jesus Christ. Focus on those things of Christ personally. Focus on those things of Christ that are the Word. Focus on the things of Christ that are worship. Focus on the things of Christ that are relationship with one another. Focus on the things of Christ which are the conduct of your character and the quality of your conversation. Focus on the things of Christ. Set your mind on things above and not of things on the earth. You know what that says? Kind of as a paraphrase, you don't have to worry on a daily basis about what's going on in this direction. It is what it is. It's going to happen the way it's going to happen. What we need to focus on and what's happening in the vertical direction about what Christ says of us and what we ascribe back to Christ and what we learn from Him in a vertical way as we focus on Him. Set our mind on the things above. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with Him in glory. Remember the promises. For those who are believers in Jesus Christ, you will be with Him in glory. But then we need to get our suit of clothes properly dressed and properly attired, if you will. It says that there are some things that we need to put to death or take off, if you will, those things about our lives which are not becoming to the way of Christ. He says this, verse 5, therefore put to death or take off those members or those parts of you of the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which are idolatry. In other words, we need to take those things off. We need to take them out of our lives. We need to unlayer ourselves from those behaviors and those habits and activities of life. Because of those things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now yourselves, you are to put off additionally all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man who is received or renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who was created, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, you need to dress better. You need to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. Recently, we had the Pastor Appreciation Weekend, and the church gave me and my wife some money. It's been nice to have. We counted it up, sorted it out, separated it. She made sure she got her portion, and we divided it together. And so I've been having a little stash, burning a hole in my hiding place there. And so I decided with a little bit of money you guys gave me, I wanted to buy a new suit. And I decided that it would be easy. I'll just go down to the shop and buy a suit. Well, I just must tell you that it's not an easy thing to do. I thought it was, but it's not an easy thing to do, because when I put on those coats and put on those pants, I'm either too short most of the time or too round, or the shoulders or the sleeves or the, you know, this and just this one and that one. And after a while, I just gave up, and I thought to myself, boy, wouldn't it be nice if I could get a custom-made suit? And so I searched around for places, realizing that's going to maybe cost a little bit more money. But I was clicking around online the other day, and I found a company online that makes custom-made suits for a reasonable price. And so you go through like 11 steps. You pick your fabric, you pick your cut, your vents, your this. You pick all of the different things about your suit, and then you get to the measurements. And I called my wife. I said, Jolynn, I said, come in here and help me with these measurements. Well, the truth of it is, I hadn't been honest with myself. Either that or the tape measure was wrong, and I don't think it was wrong. So I went across here, and I went across here, and I went across here, and I measured it again, measured my pants, and measured it again. It's like, that just can't be. Measured here, and finally just settled on. I said, well, all right, I'm gonna give that clicks in, and we'll see what comes. So in a matter of weeks, I'm thinking that I'm gonna have a nice new suit that fits me properly. If the measurements were all right, and if it's wrong, it's your fault because you gave me the money. No, I'm just kidding. But nevertheless, when I thought about that activity, I did that this week in order to get ready to have a new suit of clothes. And then I read through this passage of scripture again, It's as if the writer Paul is writing to the Colossian Christians in this preparation of being in a spirit of thanksgiving. There are some things that we need to take off. There are some things that we really don't need to be wearing. And he says that right there. He says this matter of anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy language and things that come out of your mouth, lying to one another, being inappropriate. Those are things that we need to undress from. We need to unlayer from that. Those things don't need to be on our lives, even in our t-shirt underneath. We don't need to have those things in our life. We need to get measured for the dress that we are to wear, the clothes that we are to wear, to be appropriate in the things of Christ. And when we put on that outfit, when we measure ourselves for that outfit, we are to put on these qualities that are becoming of a Christian. We are to put on these qualities of being tender, mercy people, to be gentle people, to be practicing kindness, to be practicing meekness, to be practicing humility, to be practicing forgiveness, to have an attitude of forgiveness one with another on a regular and habitual basis. Those are the qualities that prepare us to have a spirit of thanksgiving. When we read through the passage of Scripture and recognize that we need to be properly dressed in order to have a spirit of thanksgiving, in verse 12 it says that we are to have tender mercies. What does that mean? It means that we are to have compassion. We need to be gentle. We need to be caring for people. We need to walk in someone else's shoes. We need to realize that they come to the moment that we are together from a different place and a different perspective than you and I might come from our perspective in a beginning point. We need to be tender with people in a gentle way. It's not easy to do. We tend to become impatient. He speaks about patience in a moment. But we also need to be practicing kindness in the words that we say, in the way that we conduct ourselves in business and work, the way we conduct ourselves in church, the way we conduct ourselves behind closed doors at home, wherever we are, we need to be practicing kindness. We need to be practicing meekness. In some camps, people would think of meekness as a weakness. It's not weakness. It's a strength under control. It's a strength of Christ under control in our lives so that we may be functioning in the way of Christ on a daily and regular basis. We need to be practicing humility. Now, with that matter of humility, we can learn it in two ways. We can learn it the hard way, or we can learn it the easy way. If we learn it the hard way, we learn it the hard way by practicing pride over and over and over again until the Lord eventually just knocks us back a step or two and reminds us that we are in a subservient relationship to Him, that we have no way in our lives that we can get ahead of God or think we're smarter than God. God will teach us a lesson of humility if we're not careful. Or we can learn it the easy way. Just concede that God is in control, that my life is in service to Him, that whatever He says is best for me, and I yield to Him earlier rather than later and find this peace of life associated with practicing humility. Practicing humility also teaches us that we are to think of others better than ourselves. Practicing humility is, in the words of Jesus and John, coming to the place where He must increase and I must decrease. And finding in this humble life, finding in this life of quietness and allowing others to be thought of in a high way, we find our true understanding of who Christ is in us as well. We are to put that on as a part of the suit. And we can't gloss over it. Paul says we also must practice patience. That's the hard part right there, to practice patience. We must be patient with one another. We must be patient wherever we are, practicing patience in our lives. Remember, as we're growing and practicing patience with others, others are being patient with us. Oh, no, that can't be, because I'm Mr. Wonderful, right? Well, of course that's not true. Others are being patient with you as you are practicing patience with others. And when we learn the spirit of patience under the covering and instructions of Christ, we find that we are able to be more properly dressed. Secondly, he talks about in verse 15 that we need to make preparations of the heart. Just as we think of making preparation for our holidays, for Thanksgiving and Christmas, decorations, trips, visitations, shopping, all those things that are important about these last 6 or 7 weeks of the year, in the same way, we need to be practicing having preparations of the heart. In other words, he says this. He said we need to be bearing with one another. It's right out of that word of patience. And when in a more popular way, we need to learn to put up with one another and to conceive that one another is worth having around, even with the quirks and the flaws that we recognize and notice in one another. Because truth of it is, we're all looking at each other and we're bearing with one another. As well, we need to practice forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. There's great freedom in life in practicing a spirit of forgiveness. Our Heavenly Father taught us that through the deliverance of His Son, Jesus, to the earth. And He taught us that by what Jesus did for us in the work of His life and in the ultimate work, as was said a moment ago, through the experience of resurrection. He took upon Himself the sin of the world and He buried it in the ground when He went to the grave. And He came out victorious, leaving sin behind. And He taught us by that horrible experience of the cross, but the ultimate celebration of the resurrection, that if we are going to align ourselves with Christ, we are going to have to learn that quality of forgiveness. Because Christ forgave us. The best of us were not worth saving. But He saved us at the worst moment of us. He chose to do that so that He would show us this matter of forgiveness so that we might learn and practice forgiving one another's. Carrying grudges, holding on to memories is some of the weightiest part of the spiritual life. It's part of the weightiest part of the Christian life. And we are need to drop those matters so that we might openly and easily practice forgiving one another as we move forward in preparation for the heart. In verse 14, it's also important that we remember to be perfect, putting on love. It says that in verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, we're not in our own strength and our own ability going to be perfect in that sense. But what He is saying in this passage of Scripture is that Jesus is perfect. He was when He lived through the grave and the resurrection and back to the right hand of the Father. He is the very definition of perfection. And when you and I as believers align ourselves with Christ, we begin to experience what His perfection is compared to our flaws. And the growth of the Christian life is to grow towards that perfection, which is Christ. And those things in our life that we used to wear, that we used to carry around, that we used to put on, as we drop them one by one and never go back to them and leave them alone and leave them away, we come closer and closer to understanding what this sinless, perfect life is with Christ. Oh, sure, we're going to mess up from time to time. But the truth of it is, we all could confess this, we concede that that's okay more than we should, instead of growing in the discipling activity towards this perfection, which is Christ. On a way to a spirit of thanksgiving, we must grow in perfection as we put on love. Not your love ability, not my love ability, but His love ability. Loving in the way that Christ loved and showing that love for others in a special way. We then are able to capture the peace of God and unity comes to the body. That's what the Colossian Christians were struggling with. They were a strong church. They were trying to be of Christ. The message of the world kept bombarding them, and they were drifting. And so Paul calls them back to the focus of being united as a body of Christ, committing themselves to Him. And then lastly, when we have these qualities in place, when we are properly dressed, taking off the things that have no business in our life, putting on the proper outfit, making the preparations of the heart, and learning how to love in the way that Christ calls us to love, then, and only then, can we truly have a thankful heart. A thankful heart. And that should ooze from our lives. It should overflow from our lives. It should be evidence to all that we have a spirit of thanksgiving. Not just on a scheduled calendar day, but every day. The other day, Joe and I ran to Lafayette to return some clothes that she had bought from our grandson. When she bought the clothes for the grandson, she bought them too small, and I wasn't with her. When I went back with her to exchange the clothes, she was hesitant about me coming into the store because of how much she'd bought. And so I didn't know that. I just kind of plowed in there with her, trying to help her buy stuff for our grandson. I mean, after all, you know, he's 2 years old. He needs 6 outfits, right? I mean, he needs that much. And all the grandparents said amen to that. So as I was milling around in the store there, and she was swapping out items, I happened to notice across the way in the store a baby crying, a small baby crying, a little tiny baby crying, panic cry. And I saw the dad pushing the stroller, and I mentioned to him from a distance away, I said, "Oh, that baby's really sounding off, huh?" And he said, "Yeah, she's hungry, and we've got to get her fed, and Mama's trying to cash in at register," and everything was in a moment. So I drifted over closer to him, and I said, I looked inside, and I said, "Oh, that's a new baby. That's a brand new baby." He said, "Yes, all praise to Jesus, 2 weeks old. Praise Father, 2 weeks old baby. Oh, praise to the Lord, a 2 week old baby." He just praising and praising and praising. And I said, "Man," I said, "your language tells me that, you know, you're a believer." He said, "Absolutely. I'm a part of Philadelphia Baptist Church. Omar Tebow's the pastor there. I know Omar. I got to chatting with him." And every other sentence was praise to Jesus. He was absolutely overwhelmed that God had given him this baby. And we talked a minute and we chatted a little more, and he looked at me and he said, "Mama's finished. We got to go feed. Praise Jesus." And he's out the door he went. And I thought, man, what an awesome dad. What an awesome father. Loving his 2 week old son, loving the Lord, living that openly in a children's store, and living that openly in front of his family, and just absolutely overwhelmed at the blessings and thanksgiving of his life. And you know, that brother inspired me. By telling you the story, it should inspire you. Because the truth of it is, we have so much to be thankful for. Somebody say amen to that. We have so much to be thankful for. I mean, just think about it. We have a warm church to come and fellowship with one another. We have people that care about us together, one another. We have family members that carry our name and carry a welcome heart to us as we mix and mingle and over the holidays and travel with one another. We have a Savior that gave up his beautiful life for the likes of us so that we can have the life like him at the end of our days. We have the opportunity to think and read and be creative. We have the opportunity to imagine. We have the opportunity to make corrections for things that we've done wrong. And we have the opportunity to live out the fruit of those corrections into right behavior and right living. And I could go on and on and on. And the attitude of our heart and the testimony of our lives walking around, it should be evident to all. Just as this young father showed evidence, it should be evident to all that we are a people of thanksgiving. That we, because of the commands of the scriptures, because of the commands of Christ, and because of the help of Christ, are taking off the things of the world that have no business being in the life of a person and no business helping out the life of a believer at all. And to take those things off and to put on that proper attire so that we might be dressed and ready to be loving people and to show the world the spirit of thanksgiving, the spirit of praise. If you're here today and that spirit of thanksgiving has kind of drifted away, it's time to resuit up. It's time to energize and recharge. And a special holiday gives us opportunity to refocus on the matters of thanksgiving. If you're here today and you've never come into grips with the fact that Jesus can save your heart and save your soul, today can be the day to make that change, to simply say yes to Jesus, to simply say yes to him and be thankful.